It was mentioned already a couple of times that the Nachlass of Weierstrass, the Weierstrass works, is present now in the Mittag-Leffler Institute in Djursholm, close to Stockholm. And this was an important source for all the studies. I know it explicitly about the studies of Reinhard Bölling, but certainly also many other historians had to go to Stockholm in order to see what Weierstrass really had written. And therefore, when we prepared this birthday party here, then we thought this it would be not complete if we don't have two representatives of that remarkable institute here. And we are very happy that the director of the institute, the Mittag-Leffler Institute, is now our guest. This is Ari Laptev in the very last row. And the second special guest in this respect is the librarian of the wonderful library of the Mittag-Leffler Institute, so to speak, the one who has the closest contacts in the last 35 years with the works of Weierstrass. And this is our next speaker. This is Michael Rockstedt, the librarian of the Mittag-Leffler Institute since 1980. Where is he?
In this presentation, I would like to give a little background to something that turned up a few times in the preceding talks, namely the fact that a large part of the Nachlass, what we call the Nachlass of Weierstrass, is located at Institut Mittag-Leffler in Djursholm, outside Stockholm. It all goes back to the Swedish mathematician Gösta Mittag-Leffler, who founded the Mathematical Research Institute in 1916. He lived between 1846 and 1927, that is the generation after Weierstrass. And he was the most fervent disciple and dedicated admirer of Weierstrass. It is a great pleasure for me, as a librarian at Institut Mittag-Leffler, and on behalf of the Institute, to pay tribute to Karl Weierstrass on this special day. But also for Gösta Mittag-Leffler, this commemoration would have been a major occasion had he been alive. At the 5th International Congress of Mathematicians in Cambridge, 1912, Mittag-Leffler's invitation to arrange the next Congress in Stockholm met with approval. And on his initiative, it should be devoted to Weierstrass in honor of his 100th anniversary. The plans came to naught, however, due to the First World War and its political aftermath. A Weierstrass celebration took place later, in fact, but not until 1925, and then in Münster, as the Bundesminister already mentioned earlier. And then the 79-year-old Mittag-Leffler was invited to give the opening address, entitled Erinnerungen an Weierstrass. Sadly, his doctor prohibited him from traveling at the last moment. Instead, he sent a short text in which he praised his teacher and friend, the great master. Some words about the contact and friendship of between Mittag-Leffler and Weierstrass. According to Mittag-Leffler, during his studies in Uppsala, which led to a doctor's degree in 1872, the name of Weierstrass and his mathematics were virtually unknown. The sporadic international influences in Uppsala came from the French school, notably Cauchy. The unimpressive dissertation gave him, however, the opportunity for a 3-year traveling stipend, initially set off for Paris. At the first meeting with Charles Hermite, the leading French mathematician turned to his new student suddenly and said, "You have made a mistake, monsieur. You should have gone to Weierstrass in Berlin. He is the master of us all." And this was said in 1873, just a few years after the Franco-Prussian War, with, as a consequence, broken contacts. But Mitterlöffler left and stayed in Paris for 6 months before he arrived in Berlin for the autumn semester of 1874. It's no exaggeration to say that the impressive lectures by Weierstrass and the personal friendship he formed with his teacher changed Mitterlöffler's mathematical world and direction. After 3 semesters in Berlin, Mitterlöffler made a distinguished career, first in Helsinki, then as the architect of the School of Mathematical Analysis at Stockholm's Högskola, the newly founded university college in the Swedish capital, now Stockholm University. There, in a unique way, as we have heard, he managed to recruit Weierstrass's favorite student, Sofia Kovalevskaya, as full professor. On the international mathematical and scientific scene, he was one of the most important and energetic figures through his wide circle of contacts. Weierstrass and his ideas continued to be essential for Mitterlöffler. By diplomatic skill, his new journal, Acta Mathematica, founded in 1882, got the support of the master. Now to the fate of the Weierstrass Nachlass. Karl Weierstrass lived for many years together with his 2 younger sisters, Clara, born in 1823, and Elise, born in 1826. When Karl passed away in 1897, he had already lost Clara a year earlier. His will contained no provision for the disposition of the mathematical Nachlass. Johannes Knoblauch, a colleague and friend of the family, was entrusted with the practical matters of the estate. As the first editor of Weierstrass's Mathematische Werke, as we saw earlier, he surveyed the library and found it in a state of disorder. All through the rest of his life, Mitterlöffler nourished an ambition to write a biography of Weierstrass, and publishers also made inquiries about such a project. He was therefore, during the next years, in contact with Knoblauch about unpublished manuscripts, often worried that some of the expected writings might have disappeared. The next year also, Elise Weierstrass died, and the flat on Friedrich Wilhelmstrasse stood empty. What would now happen to the Nachlass? There was still one member of the Weierstrass family alive, Karl's brother Peter, born in 1820, a gymnasial professor of languages in Breslau. Like his deceased brother and sisters, he never married. At some point after 1897, the disorganized Nachlass must have been moved from Berlin to his house. This also included all the personal belongings of the Weierstrass family. After several years of attempts to visit Peter, Mitterlöffler seized an opportunity in Bad Kudowa in the summer of 1903. But he found out he had to proceed with caution. After the loss of his brother and sisters, Peter suffered from a nervous disorder, which grew worse when he had to talk about his family. Mitterlöffler later published his recollections from their meeting in Acta Mathematica with some interesting information about Karl Weierstrass. Mitterlöffler met Peter Weierstrass last time in Breslau. 2 months later, Peter passed away in April 1904. In the household, Mitterlöffler had talked to the young daughter of the former loyal housekeeper for many years. This girl was now supposed to inherit Peter Weierstrass after her mother's death a few months ago. But it turned out that no written will had been made due to Peter's poor health. If no distant relatives appeared, the inheritance would then pass to the crown. With growing concern, Mitterlöffler took an active part in this problematic situation. He early established a useful contact with a certain Oberpostassistent Schulz, who introduced himself as Hausgenosse or Peter Weierstrass. It's not completely clear what this meant earlier, but the impression is that he now officially continued as contact man for the estate of the deceased. Anyway, Mitterleffler soon found out that this conscientious Oberpostassistent served his purpose perfectly. During the next 6 months, the two men corresponded frequently, and they also met in Berlin. Herr Schulz was thankful to Mitterleffler for being the only one outside the household who had shown concern and devotion to Peter Weierstrass, but surely also for a liberal gratuity. As a result, Schulz and the young girl in the household managed to convince the executor of the estate to leave most of the personal assets to the Swedish professor. Among the objects were various portraits, including a large bust of Karl, official documents, diplomas, a small mountain of letters, as it was phrased, and other original writings. We've seen this photo many times. Here it is in a frame. Not only relating to Karl, but also to the rest of the Weierstrass family. The parents, Peter, Clara, Elise, and little Franz, Karl's adopted son. On Mitterleffler's behalf, Herr Schulz bought some parts, while other parts were simply given to him, since they were considered to be of no value to anyone else. According to a note found, most books from the library of Karl Weierstrass had been sold earlier, and Schulz reported that no larger manuscripts had been discovered so far. In the family letters, they also looked for names of distant heirs to the Weierstrass family, who, if found, could simplify the legal situation. In vain, as it turned out. Apart from the personal and scientific documents mentioned earlier, Mitterleffler also received, found, and looked after other objects valuable today as sources of knowledge about the life and work of Karl Weierstrass. The legendary lectures Weierstrass regularly gave during his 30 years in Berlin have been much referred to. Mitterleffler was always on the lookout for new versions of former students' lecture notes to buy or make copies of. Today at this institute, one finds around 50 such lecture notes in various forms. The large correspondence between Weierstrass and Mitterleffler is preserved in both directions. After Kowalewska's death, Mitterleffler acted quickly to safeguard the letters Weierstrass had written to her. There are also other documents connected to Weierstrass in Kowalewska's Nachlass at Institut Mitterleffler. But Mitterleffler also cared about letters from Weierstrass to other mathematicians. Several of them and their relatives entrusted him with letters or granted permission for publication. At Institut Mitterleffler today, there are several portrayals of Weierstrass. In addition to photographs and the marble busts we saw in two copies from 1885, there is also, as we have seen, we have another version here of the painting on the walls at the Institute, of the young Weierstrass in corps student dress. And in contrast to this, as we also seen, the copy made by Rudolf von Feuchtländer from 1895. And Mitterleffler had, of course, been active in procuring both the bust for the 70th birthday and the large oil painting for the 80th birthday. The inheritance, at last, from Mitterleffler today. When Mitterleffler conceived his private villa in the new garden village of Djursholm between 1890 and 1906, he always had in mind a mathematical institute of the future. Large library rooms and ample storage facilities indicated his intention to create a mathematical center where collections of all kinds of items related to mathematics should form the basis. Not only books and periodicals, but also manuscripts, offprints, letters, photographs, etc. The Weierstrass material fits well into this context. Mitterleffler's activities during his lifetime ensured that this Nachlass was not forgotten, even though he was disappointed with the waning enthusiasm for his master's mathematics. On his 70th birthday in 1916, Gösta Mittag-Leffler, together with his wife Signe, founded the Institute Mittag-Leffler. Given the difficult times in Europe, the dream of an active institute in the villa for visitors could not be realized until 1969, when Lennart Carlsson managed to make the original plans into reality. When Mittag-Leffler died in 1927, much of the historical material in his villa sank into oblivion and lay dormant for the next 40 years. In the late 1960s, around the time when the modern institute was launched, Ivar Grattan Guinness visited the villa in order to examine the historical collections. This led to an important article where he made a preliminary description of the content and his findings. As for the present orderly disposition, our special thanks go to Reinhard Bölling. In the 1990s, the Institute had a good fortune to engage him in arranging the Weierstrass and Kovalevskaya material. Through his knowledge, thoroughness, and keen interest, the Weierstrass Nachlass at Institut Mittag-Leffler has been collected, ordered, and documented in the best way. It was always Mittag-Leffler's wish to make his collections available to the mathematical community, and this still remains a guiding principle for Institut Mittag-Leffler today. As the very last picture, I made a promise to bring greetings from this little fellow. He stands at, it's not from the Weierstrass collection, he stands at the first thing you see when you enter the Institute, and probably of Finnish or Russian origin from Mittag-Leffler's times. And when I told him I was going to Berlin, he was overjoyed and said that, of course, this was Berlin is his favorite city. Thank you.
There's the possibility to ask questions. The first question comes.
Okay, thanks. It's a statement and combined with a question. About 20 years ago, the German historian of mathematics, Gerd Schubring, who is now in Brazil, found another part of the Nachlass of Weierstrass, which is now in the Geheime Staatsarchiv Dahlem here in Berlin. And my question is, there's apparently some, it's not yet really analyzed, I mean, only sparse publication about it. There's apparently a bigger part of correspondence with Kronecker in it. And so my question is, do you have an overview of the amount compared to what lies in Mittag-Leffler? And does the Institute plan to maybe take copies of this, that at some point, there would be the real and exclusive center of Weierstrass Nachlass in Diersholm.
Yes, I heard about that collection also. I don't know the amount about it, but what I understand it it has to do with Weierstrass during the last year of his life. He entrusted he had some letters and he didn't know what to do with them, and he got an idea that, and he gave them to Friedrich Althoff. And that is the origin. And Friedrich Althoff later gave them to some kind of archive, and it has been moved. And now it is where you mentioned.
But no plans so far to kind of.
No, we haven't discussed it at all. But okay. It could be worthwhile looking into. Mm-hmm. Yes, certainly. Okay.
I have the feeling there's no question left. So let's thank our speaker once more.